Gentile born in Messiah, born in Yeshua, born in the olive tree, Jew and Gentile. Okay, stop, stop, hold on. That song is an abomination from the garbage dump of Gehenna. Both of those terms are incorrect. Let's correct this. Judah and Israel.
Born in Messiah, born in Yeshua, born in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel.
Born in Messiah, born in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father, to love one another. We humble hearts, forgiving each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together, so the world might believe.
Judah and Israel. Judah and Israel.
Born in Messiah, born in Yeshua's love. Born in Yeshua's love.
Greetings to all my Israelite brothers and sisters, and to the Gentiles who have been fooled into identifying as Gentiles. May the divine influence be sparked within you and lead you out of the mire that is called Gentiles. This is part 7 of Gentiles. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Gentiles is found in the Word Studies menu. The Latin word gentilis made its way into the English translations around 1300 AD from the Latin Vulgate. Gentilis, the Hebrew word goyim, and the Greek ethnos, simply means nations and does not mean non-Jew. The non-Jew meaning was adopted, and before long it became a statement of fact, but not of truth. All the different denominations used the term Gentiles to support their own doctrines, changing the Word of God. Since the churches think Gentiles means non-Jew, here's a quick recap from the last show, which shows that goyim does not mean non-Jew. In Joel, Yahweh says all goyim will be judged. Goyim means nations, so that includes Jews too. In Amos, the house of Israel came to the distinguished elites of the chief of the goyim, which is Judah. The remnant of Adam and all the goyim Israelites are called heathen, and Yahweh will bring them back to Jerusalem after captivity. In Obadiah, Yahweh foretells the ultimate destruction of the Jewish children of Esau, which are a greatly despised goyim. In Micah, many Adamic and Israelite nations will seek the God of Jacob to learn his ways and his Torah. This is not speaking of the Gentiles or the church, because they don't seek Yahweh, follow his ways, and have done away with his Torah. Yahweh will make the remnant of Judah that returns a strong goyim. In Habakkuk, the Babylonians ruled over all the goyim of the land during their reign, even Jews, which are not supposed to be goyim, but are, because the word only means nations. In Zephaniah, Yahweh calls Israel a goyim not desired, and his people, Israel, goyim. In Haggai, Yahweh is going to shake all the goyim, including Jews. He says, the desire of all goyim shall come. The goyim of Israel would expect the Messiah. He tells his goyim people Israel that their idols are unclean and to put away the old man of sin. Just more examples that make this doctrine of Gentilis burst like the guts of Judas Iscariot when he was cut down from the tree he hung himself on. Gentiles are not non-Jews. It simply means nations. The Jews are not Israelites. The Jews are simply the devil's children, literally. And we will continue to expose this Jewish fable and false definition for what it really is, an abomination. Zechariah 1:14. So the messenger that communed with me said unto me, Cry you, saying, Thus says Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem, and for Zion with a great jealousy. Yahweh is jealous when we seek other gods. Verse 15, And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. The Septuagint reads, And I am very angry with the heathen that combine to attack her, Jerusalem. For as much as I indeed was a little angry, but they combined to attack her for evil. In verse 15, the heathen are the nations that participated in the attacks on Israel. These would be Adamic pagan nations, as well as the cursed seed Canaanite and Edomite nations. Jews and non-Jews, both identified as nations from a word that is supposed to mean non-Jew. Verse 16, Therefore thus says Yahweh, I am returned to Jerusalem with deep compassions. My house shall be built in it, says Yahweh of hosts, and a measuring line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Yahweh punishes us when we are beyond reproach, but he preserves the righteous and those who return to him through these punishments. Isaiah 12:1, And in that day you shall say, O Yahweh, I will praise you. Though you was angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Isaiah 54:8, In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says Yahweh, your Redeemer. Verse 17, Cry yet, saying, Thus says Yahweh of hosts, My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and Yahweh shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Isaiah 51:3, For Yahweh shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Isaiah 14:1, For Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the sojourning kinsmen shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. These are dual prophecies. First, after Babylonian captivity, the children of Judah and Benjamin return to Jerusalem to restore the temple and bring in the Messiah. Second, a prophecy of the tribes of Israel regathered here in America. Verse 18, Then lifted I up my eyes, and saw, and behold, four military powers. And I said unto the messenger that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the powers, or horns, which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Ezra 4:1 Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto Yahweh Elohim of Israel, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. And in the days of Artaxerxes wrote Bishlam, Mithridah, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the writing of the letter to have the building of the temple stopped was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. and at the time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shethar-Boznai and their companions, and said thus unto them, Who has commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Verse 20. And Yahweh showed me four carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns, or powers, which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns, or powers, of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. The Septuagint reads, And I said, What are these coming to do? And he said, These are the horns that scattered Judah, and they broke Israel in pieces, and none of them lifted up his head. And these are come forth to sharpen them for their hands, even the four horns, the nations that lifted up the horn against the land of Yahweh to scatter it. The four carpenters must be Bishlam, Mithridah, Tabeel, and Tatnai. Bishlam is one of three foreign colonists who wrote a letter of complaint against the Judahites to Artaxerxes. He is a Persian officer of Artaxerxes in Canaan in the time of Zerubbabel's return from Babylon, who was adverse to the rebuilding of the temple. Mithridah, the treasurer stationed in Samaria, who handed over their temple prosperity to the Judeans, was named Mithridah, a word that means given by Mithra, or devoted to Mithra, showing that the Persian sun god was worshipped among the servants of Cyrus, and those associated with this divinity was constrained to honor the god of Israel. Tabeel is a Persian governor of Samaria, who joined others in the attempt to prevent the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And Tatnai, a Persian governor of the entire province of Syria and Phoenicia, and therefore with a jurisdiction over Judea and over Zerubbabel, the sub-governor of Judah. These horns of the Gentiles are of the nations which sprung from Adam. So by these false non-Jew definitions of Gentiles, these supposed Gentile descendants of supposed Jew Adam are Jews. But since the word Goyim, 1471, does not mean Gentiles or non-Jew, again we see that Gentiles does not belong. These nations were not Jewish. Zechariah 2:7, Deliver yourself, O Zion, that dwells with the daughter of Babylon. Revelation 18:4, And I heard another voice from the sky, saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Verse 8, For thus says Yahweh of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the pupil of his eye. Deuteronomy 32:9, For Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the pupil of his eye. Verse 9, For behold, I will shake my hands upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of you, says Yahweh, and many nations shall be joined to Yahweh in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of you, and you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me unto you. Isaiah 2:2, And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come you, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, and the word of Yahweh from Yerushalayim. This is a prophecy of America. Zion and Jerusalem do not always refer to the place. It often represents the people. The children of Israel are Jerusalem. The government of Israel is Zion. Out of America, Zion, went forth Yahweh's laws. We the people, Jerusalem with the USA in the middle, spreads his word. In verse 11, the many nations that joined to Yahweh in that day is not referring to the church or Gentiles, as Scripture and Yahweh demand we be separate from those outside our race and those worshiping other gods, that we are not to mix and covenant with the other races or have 33,000 denominations. The other nations are speaking about the other nations of the tribes of Jacob Israel and the nations which descended from the sons of Adam. And as Exodus 12:49 reads, And one law shall be to him that is home-born and to the sojourning kinsmen among you. It's all about keeping the family together, the family of the white race. America was founded as a white Christian nation, was a fulfillment of prophecy of the regathering of all 12 tribes, and is symbolic of what will happen on the earth when Yeshua returns. America was never intended by the founding fathers and Yahweh to allow all the races of the world to join. This happened because of the Jew. It is the Jews that brought the blacks over in the slave trade which they ran. It is the Jews in our government that are opening our borders, giving illegals all the handouts and benefits, and have changed not only the Torah, but our Constitution into their own traditions, rules, and regulations. Did you know that not only did Yahweh and his prophets warn us about these sheeny, vagabond Jews, but so did our founding fathers? I warn you, gentlemen, if you do not exclude the Jew forever, your children's children will curse you in your grave. Their ideas are not those of Americans. The leopard cannot change his spots. The Jews are a danger to this land, and if they are allowed to enter, they will imperil its institutions. They should be excluded by the Constitution. Benjamin Franklin. The Jews are the poster children for hypocrites. They push diversity and immigration, but they don't allow it in their false state called Israel. Zechariah 8:20. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before Yahweh, and to seek Yahweh of hosts. I will go also. We are in the last days. We are in the last age, the age of Laodicea from Revelation. America, when it began, was the mountain of Yahweh. We are the most powerful nation, and all nations looked to us. Our people looked to join us. Our racial brothers from all over joined us. The beginning of America occurred during the age of Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. The other races looked to devour our blessings and conquer us, and it is the Jew which looks to open our borders to consume us. The law of God went forth from us, and we, who are his people, true Israel, spread his word. The Jews have never done this. They have only usurped our government and perverted our nation. They have covered our Bible, laws, traditions, and eyes with the flying roll of chapter 5, which represents their Talmud, the counterfeit, the lies, their deceptions, Judeo-Christianity, and any of the 33,000 so-called Christian denominations. Verse 22, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before Yahweh. These people and nations are those of our own race. It's a prophecy of our people receiving the gospel, which is only for our people, because it's only about our people. It's our covenant, our sins and disobedience, our divorce, casting off, and punishment, our regathering and reconciliation, and through our kinsman redeemer Yeshua Christ, who came only for the house of Israel. Verse 23, thus says Yahweh of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Judean, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. The Septuagint reads, thus says Yahweh Almighty, in those days my word shall be fulfilled, if 10 men of all the languages of the nations should take hold, even take hold of the hem of a Judean, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. And Isaiah 63, and the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The 10 men of all the languages of the nations. This is a reference to the northern 10 tribes of Israel, who did not return to Jerusalem, where a remnant of the 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin did return. These 2 tribes of Judah in Judea got the first-hand experience of walking with Christ. Hence, the reference to, even take the hold of the hem of a Judean, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. This happened when the apostles, mainly Paul, brought the gospel, which is the heritage, to the scattered 10 nations of Israel. Note, the word skirt in verse 23 comes from kanaf, which means edge, corner. Deuteronomy 22:12, Numbers 15:37-40, Matthew 9:20-22, 14:34-36, 23:5, Mark 6:56, and Luke 8:43-48, all speak of the fringes, or border, or corner, of Israelite garments, the tzitzith. The fringes, or tzitzith, are to be a reminder of the commandments. The 10 lost tribes were going to take hold of the commandments through the gospel. We are to continue to take hold of the commandments, not cast it behind our backs, like the so-called Gentiles do, claiming the law was done away with. The fasts of verse 19 prove that Yahweh is speaking to and about Israel. The fasts of the 4th month is on the 17th day, which Jerusalem was conquered during a great famine from the siege which began in the 9th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. It's a commemorative fast. The fast of the 5th month happens on the 10th day. The king of Babel sent his chief of the guard, Nebuzaradan, into the city where he burned the temple and much of the city. The fast on the 9th is the day the spies gave a false report to Moses and Israel, and was banished to wander 40 years until that generation died. The temple burning is commemorated on this day, a commemorative fast. The fast on the 7th month, on the 4th, is the fast of Gedaliah, a righteous governor slain by Ishmael, one of the king's commanders, a commemorative fast. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement or propitiation, and that is a commanded fast, which falls on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar began the siege of Jerusalem. It ties in with the fast of the 4th month. All these fasts are commemorative except Yom Kippur, which is commanded. The Gentile church does not know the history of our people. They don't keep the laws of our God. They don't observe the feast days and commanded fast, or the Sabbaths, or even the land Sabbaths. They don't follow Scripture, and instead follow their own desires and interpretations of the King James perversion and preachers' opinions, and the 501-C3 guidelines, and trust in their own declarations of salvation and grace. They don't live a true Christian lifestyle. They believe they are serving God and being good Christians, but in fact and in reality, they have joined themselves to the Jews, to a vain counterfeit religion, and to a Jewish Jesus. They've joined with Baal and have become unwitting antichrists with bellies full of swine and shellfish. Chapter 14 is referring to the return of the king, Zechariah 14:16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This would be the Adamic nations which are left after the wrath of Yahweh destroys all the mixed-race Canaanite and Edomite nations upon his return. Verse 17, And it shall be, that whoso will not come up of all the families of the land into Jerusalem to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. The families of the land would be the racial kinsmen of Israel. In the ancient times, non-Israelites were not permitted in the temple, and there were signs which warned of this and were punishable by death. The inner court was for the Israelites, and the outer court was for the Adamites. Our God is the God of our race, and he deals directly with us. The other races have their own gods and ways. That's why we are to remain separate from them. Yahweh did not and does not change his mind about this. That's why we are a holy, which means set apart, people. That's why he chose us above all the peoples of the earth. Verse 18, And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith Yahweh shall smite the heathen, that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The family of Egypt would be the tribes of Israel, as Egypt is where the nations of Jacob started multiplying, and that Egypt is a metaphor and symbol of captivity. Yahweh would not require the darkened mixed race of the Mitzrayim, or Egyptians, to join with pure-blooded Israel at an Israelite Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 19, This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is an Israelite memorial and represents the end of captivity. Verse 20, In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses set apartness unto Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Holiness means set apart to Yahweh. How can we be set apart if Yahweh invites all the other races? Verse 21, Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto Yahweh of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. Isaiah 35:8, And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. So all the Canaanites will be gone. No more profane doctrines, no more false priests, no more deceptions, no more errors therein. The unclean is also a reference to those outside our race, which will no longer take advantage of us, rule over us, or lead us astray with their culture and their gods. In Zechariah, H1471 Goyim is used 17 times as nations, heathen, people, and Gentiles. It was used to describe Adamic, Israelite, and non-Israelite nations. That means Gentiles can mean Jews and non-Jews, which is all Gentiles, Goyim, and Ethnos mean. Malachi 1:11. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says Yahweh of hosts. All throughout Scripture, the only people Yahweh demands to call upon his name and offer pure offerings unto his name are the children of Israel, the race of Adam. Never does he ask, demand, or accept anything from the other races or the Jews. The translators used Gentiles and heathen for the same word, H1471 Goyim, which simply means nations. Verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver, which has in his flock a male, and vows, and sacrifices unto Yahweh a corrupt thing, or a blemished sacrifice. For I am a great king, says Yahweh of hosts, and my name is awesome among the heathen. Not only should Yahweh's name be dreadful among Israel, but among all the other nations which have seen and heard how he fights for his people Israel and destroys their enemies. Malachi chapter 3 is about John the Immerser, whose commission was to cleanse the sons of Levi and prepare the final sacrifice, Christ, in righteousness. This was so that the offering of Christ be pleasant unto Yahweh. This was because the Edomite Jews had crept into the Levitical priesthood and corrupted it and the Torah of Moses. The doctrine of the Jewish Pharisees had brainwashed the people into a counterfeit religion, leading the people astray, erasing their history, heritage, and identity, and this put the Jews in the seat of authority to rule over the people. This results in converting the people into unwitting antichrists. When Christ died, not only did he establish the truth, but his death brought the priesthood, its rituals, and the added decrees of the Jews to an end. Malachi 3:6, for I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed or brought to an end. Sirach 48:10, who was ordained for reproofs in their times, to pacify the wrath of Yahweh's judgment before it break forth into fury, and to turn the heart of the father unto the son, and to restore the tribes of Jacob. Malachi and Sirach both attest who is being preserved, restored, and redeemed: the tribes of Jacob. We deserve death for our disobedience and whoredom against Yahweh. Since Yahweh keeps his word, he honors his promise to Abraham and the loving commitment, which is mercy, to his seed. Christ came to fulfill the promises by dying for us, so by his own law we may remarry him, if we act like a bride of righteousness. Verse 7, Even from the days of your forefathers you are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return unto you, says Yahweh of hosts. But you said, Wherein shall we return? The unlearned and ignorant of our people don't understand that they need to return to Yahweh, because they are deceived by the false doctrines of the churches. They think they are worshiping God, are under His grace, and are saved by their own declarations and booked for the rapture. They are worshiping a Jewish Jesus and are supporting the enemies of Christ by sending money to Israel. They are also teaching others to come to this counterfeit Jesus and trust in these damning doctrines of personal salvation. The ditch is huge and full. Acts 7:51, You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. And Zechariah 1:3, Therefore say you unto them, Thus says Yahweh of hosts, Turn you unto me, says Yahweh of hosts, and I will return unto you, says Yahweh of hosts. Verse 8, Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, Wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. This whole nation is a reference to the 12 tribes of Jacob, which are supposed to be Jews, and again being referred to as Gentiles, which again shows the nakedness, or shame, of the Gentile doctrine. The Sopharim, which are Jewish scribes, understood this verse to say that it was Israel cursing God rather than God cursing Israel. There's a few translations that make this correction. With the curse, you are cursing me, and me you are robbing, the nation in its entirety. And with a curse you curse me, and me you are defrauding, the nation, all of it. Brenton Septuagint has, And you do surely look off from me, you insult me. The Geneva has, For you have spoiled me, even this whole nation. The Syriac has circumvent, where the King James has rob or robbed. The context in verse 7 has falling away, turning aside. When it is translated to verses 8 and 9, circumvent means to keep back tithes. Verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of the sky, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Yahweh of hosts. The devourer here is the Babylonians. The devourer is also the other races. The book of Joel's insects are metaphors for the other races. Amos 4:9, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm, or other races, devoured them. Yet you have not returned unto me, says Yahweh. Verse 12, And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says Yahweh of hosts. After Yahweh is done with all the pagan nations, the other races, and the cursed seed nations, we will be a delightsome land, and all the righteous nations left shall know and call us blessed. In Malachi, H. 1471 Goyim is used 5 times as nations, heathen, and Gentiles. We have seen and exposed the word Gentile in the Old Testament. It has been demonstrated and shown that the Latin word gentilis, non-Jew meaning, does not work as the original Hebrew word H1471 goyim has been replaced with the Latin word gentilis, with its false meaning non-Jew, when the context is clearly about the children of Israel, who, according to the churches and the Jews, are Jews, but in fact are not Jews. Not only is the Latin word gentilis strategically placed in the Old Testament Hebrew, but it is also placed strategically in the New Testament in place of the Greek words. This shall be exposed as well. Now, the New Testament. The Greek word for nations is G1484, ethnos. It is incorrect to use Gentiles. Gentiles is a Latin word. Ethnos means the same as the Hebrew word goyim, H1471, a nation or race of people. G1484 is used 164 times as Gentiles, nation, and people, 101 of those times as Gentiles. The New Testament is a continuation of the same people of the Old Testament, the children of Israel. The churches teach that the Old Testament is the Jews and that the New Testament is for the church. This is another lie. These New Testament verses will demonstrate the inaccuracy and deception of the word gentilis. The deception that the Jews are Israel, and the obvious fact that the white race are the children of Jacob and descendants of Adam. Galilee was the name of a region of northern Palestine, bounded on the north by Syria, on the west by Sidon, Tyre, Ptolemais, and their territories, and the promontory of Carmel, on the south by Samaria, and on the east by the Jordan. It was one of the cities of the children of Naphtali, appointed as a city of refuge for someone who accidentally kills someone to flee to. Yeshua was of Nazareth of Galilee. Galilee means circuit of the nations, or heathen circle, or region of the nations. This area was occupied by Israelites, Adamites, and also had some cursed seed Canaanite and Edomite Jews among them. Yeshua begins his ministry in Galilee. Matthew 4:12. Now when Yeshua had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." The prophecy concerning Galilee of the Gentiles actually refers to the region of the nations of the long dispersed Israelites, for they are the people sitting in darkness. The prophets spoke about blind Israel, not blind Gentiles or churches. Yeshua came for his people, not the world. Isaiah 42:7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Isaiah 9:1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Verse 17. From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, Repent, or think differently, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Chapter 6 is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount in which Yeshua was teaching his disciples their instructions. This sermon was not to the multitude, as chapter 5, verse 1 states, He went up into a mountain, and his disciples went up and joined him. He tells his disciples not to worry about their life, food, drink, or raiment, because their Father will provide it for them as they shepherd his flock. Matthew 6:31. Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we be clothed with? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The churches teach the gospel of personal salvation, I'm saved, and the rapture. Yeshua taught kingdom theology, not personal salvation by your own declaration, as if it's up to you. The Gentiles, in verse 32, would be the nations, meaning the nations of Israel, Yahweh being their heavenly Father. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Or, each day has enough evil of itself. Verses 25 through 34 does not mean that we should walk around naked and hungry and thirsty. These instructions were directly to his disciples, preparing, educating, and instructing them. This is also about whether or not we should put our trust in ourselves, claiming we are saved, seeking our own provisions, or whether we want to put our trust in Yahweh and participate in national salvation. In verse 32, those nations which seek food and clothes would include all nations, even Jews, and once again shows that Gentiles simply means a nation or race of people and can be applied to any nation. The 12 Apostles, Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. 1 Corinthians 9:14. Even so has Yahweh ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The apostles were taught the example which they were to set. The apostles were given these powers by Christ. This next verse should be all the proof one would need to see that either the Gentiles were never to receive the word, or that Gentiles simply means nations, and in the context of Scripture and these verses, are referring to whom the message is for, Israelites. Verse 5. These 12 Yeshua sent forth, and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If the churches say that the New Testament is about the church and is for the Gentiles, then why is Christ himself commanding the 12 not to go to the Gentiles? After all, they like to believe the plain English and exactly what it reads, like the earth was created in literally 6 days, or the flood covered the whole earth, or just believe and be saved. But there is more to it than the face value of the English translations. That's why word studies are important. They reveal the truth and expose the lies of the church doctrine and Jewish fables. Christ is telling his apostles to go to the children of Israel, the white nations of the tribes of Jacob, the people Yahweh cast off in the Old Testament, who now have no clue who they are or whose they are. Christ is telling his apostles not to go to the other racially alien nations. But again, the churches bring the gospel and promises to those outside our race, giving the food meant for our people to the beast races. The churches are unprofitable servants of Yahweh, but are perfect examples of being employees of the synagogue of Satan. Gentiles means nations. Context determines which nations. As he specifically stated in verses 5 through 6, to go to the house of Israel. The churches do not believe Scripture, the Old Testament prophecies of Christ coming for his people Israel, and the red letter statements coming from Jesus' own mouth about who he came for and who the gospel is for. They just do not believe the word of God. Coming persecutions. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The sheep in Scripture are always the children of Israel. The wolves are always the Jewish children of Cain and Esau. Esau. Verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the Sanhedrin, and they will scourge you in their assembly halls. And you shall be brought before the governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. The context is his disciples and the coming persecutions from teaching the gospel to their Israelite kinsmen who have been brainwashed by the Jewish Pharisees and their counterfeit doctrine. The apostles were a witness of Yeshua to the authorities and to their kinsmen who would hear and see the testimony and believe. The gospel message is to all of the children of Israel. Some would respond, many would be too stiff-necked and stubborn because of the false doctrine being taught by the Jews, that their hearts and minds were seared and would never come to the truth. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall also rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Family that trusts any of the 33,000 versions of so-called Christianity will be at odds with the family members that follow the true belief. The world loves Jaime Jesus, but the true remnant loves Yeshua Messiah. Verse 22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. Endure to the end. You're not saved before the end, and not by your own declaration. Verse 23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee you unto another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel before the Son of Adam be come. There are plenty of Israelites everywhere. Keep proclaiming. 99% of our people are lost and walking in darkness, holding hands with Jaime Jesus. If the Jews were Israel, it would be easy to have gone over all the cities of Israel. But since true Israel is the Anglo-Saxon race, and we are scattered across the globe, it may take a while to go over all of them. Again, proving the fact that the Jews, which are a small percent of the world's population, are not Israel. We, true Israelites, by the word of Elohim, are a multitude of nations, and a people which are numbered as the stars of the sky and sands of the sea. The Jews do not fit any of the marks which identify Israel. The white race fits all the marks of Israel. We are about halfway through this study, and I hope you are understanding that the children of Israel in the Old Testament are our ancestors. The children of Jacob are the nations which Yahweh has chosen to be his special people. These are not Jews. As the beginning of this study clearly demonstrated, that all these nations, or Goyim, which sprung from Adam, Noah, and Jacob, are the nations and branches of our white race. The term Gentilis, which is a Latin word and has no place in Scripture, cannot be made to mean non-Jew. It is a Jewish invention to lead our people away from our true identity and remove us from Yahweh's light. Because when a true Israelite identifies as a Gentile, then their belief will be based on the Gentile identity and believing in a counterfeit religion which is not Christianity. If you read what the Jews say in their Talmud about us Goyim, you will feel very differently about the supposed chosen people. They hate us, our scriptures, and our God. The seed of Cain and of Esau are numbered with those that will go into the lake of fire. Their number is almost up. We, white Adamic true Israelites, we Goyim of Jacob, are the people of the promise. We are the children of Abraham and are the vessels of mercy and are numbered as the stars of the sky. Praise Yahweh.
Hey Abraham, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. So shall your offspring be.
Which proves that they're not Jews, because they're not numbered as the stars.
So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Israel had many sons, 12 to be precise. And they would be the fathers of the Israelites.
Which you are too, if you're white.
They were Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, Issachar and Zebulun, Joseph and little Benji. These are the 12 sons of Israel,
called Goyim in the Old Testament.
These are the 12 tribes of Israel,
called Ethnos and Hellen in the New Testament.
But how would God bless the world through these 12 sons? Well, a descendant of Judah. Save us from our sins and rule us with perfect righteousness. His name was Jesus of Nazareth, born of a virgin, God in human form, sent from the